Hey everyone, welcome to Friday Night Live with your hosts Ben, Rob, and Seth. Well, we're investigative researchers who look into topics the mainstream media can't or won't report on, and then we share what we find with all of you. Plus, we do a lot of joking around in the process. And what looks like a joke lately is the state of our world leaders. It's almost midterm election time, so the gloves are coming off for politicians, and everyone from DeSantis to AOC is being full-on attacked. Elon Musk is putting his money where his mouth is and joining the international sparring ring with quips on Twitter. Then Kanye West once again is leaving everyone wondering whether he's trolling, revealing things he knows, or if he's a walking piece of performance art.
Well, this Friday Night Live is going to bring you the latest updates plus exclusive segments you're only going to see on Rise.tv. So there's the Dig Deep Q&A where you can ask us your questions directly. We've gotten everything from what our favorite foods are, not spicy chips, to spiritual and philosophical opinions, to whether we think the government is really a bunch of lizard people dressed up in human suits. And the answers to some of them may surprise you, so you're definitely going to love our Dig Deep segment.
But a lot of people's favorite part of Friday Night Live is the top 10 weirder news of the week. And today we have the funniest and weirdest stories that you'll have to see it to believe it, like an amazing near-death experience, a spooky boat story, technology getting freaked out, and a few strange tragedies. So join us on Rise.tv for the Dig Deep and Weirder News segment. But for now, let's talk about Elon Musk, Kanye West, the midterms, Alex Jones, and everything else in between.
Well, hey, y'all, if you're listening to our podcast right now, please give us a 5-star rating and review. Thank you.
Nice.
Yeah, nailed it. I know, guys, a lot of times we start with our personal highlights or anything. So I've got two things to share with y'all tonight.
Okay.
One of my highlights was the fact that I survived last week's Friday Night Live. And I'm sure that most of you that are here watching saw it. Well, at least those on Rise TV, because this was only, this was only behind the paywall. But Rob and I, this was so good. Rob and I ate probably the world's hottest chip. Rob handled it like a champ. Though so I think that Rob actually switched it out for a fake one.
Rear end would say otherwise.
that was bad. Maybe a little bit later we can play some of it with audio, because the audio makes
audio is hysterical.
Hysterical. So that was one of my highlights, I would say. And actually, I have to tell you, the next day wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it would be. I can tell you the bidet is a magical tool. So now the real highlight I had, though, was, so I've got a 2-year-old little girl, as most of you know, her name's June. And occasionally I had these glimpses and these interactions with her where I'm like, that is definitely my daughter. So last night it was a little bit, my wife and I, we stay up. A lot of times Thursday night's kind of like our Friday night, because Friday night we have FNL, right? So if Thursday night's the one night we get kicked back and, watch a movie or hang out. And we let June stay up with us. Normally she's in bed by 7:30. And let's let her stay up till 9 o'clock. We had some ice cream, everything she loved. But at a certain point, it was like 8:30. Like, I wonder where June is at, because normally you can hear her. She's like banging something around, or she's dumping something out, or just making noise, or chasing the dog, but it's silent. And for those of you that have kids, you know that when your 2-year-old is silent, something usually wrong is happening. So I walked into the kitchen and I see her with our dog, Cece, a little corgi, sitting in the middle of the kitchen rug. And she reached up on the counter and pulled down these two big blocks of butter. And she gave one to Cece and had one for herself. So she's sitting there eating a block of butter.
Oh my God.
Dog's licking her block of butter.
And it was, did you get video of it?
No, I should have, but it was the funny, and her back was kind of turned towards us so that like we couldn't see her. But it was the funniest thing. And that's the, you know, the funny thing about her. She just loves eating butter. And so do I. So that was that's a highlight funny. For me. Is just this little reminder of like, you know what? Life can be pretty beautiful sometimes.
That's great.
How about you, gentlemen? What was good for you this past week? Aside from you watching me suffer immensely for your birthday.
I defer to you, Ben, right now. Okay. I'll go last this time.
You know, well, it's interesting because I've been just kind of going out to more like things that are a little bit more open recently in the area. And it's pretty amazing how everyone is just really just getting back, trying to get back to normalcy. It's just like, you know, everything is trying to open and whatever can open. I was at this cafe the other day working and it started raining and they paid for this like $40,000 roof. And luckily not where we were, but on the other side of the cafe, the whole thing just started leaking. And it was like, whoa, you know, and they had their like insurance company come while we're all there and everything.
Ben, which part of Florida are you in? Like your area got hit pretty hard with the hurricane, right?
Yeah. Cape Coral, Fort Myers area specifically. And that's like ground zero essentially. And I kind of found out that this area is, I guess what you would kind of almost refer to it as like a Bible Belt in a lot of ways. Like it's very, very, very Christian, conservative community, I would say. So I didn't really, you know, I kind of knew that coming over here, but I didn't really know like how strong it really was. And so, but it's also pretty fascinating talking to some of the locals who have been here. And, you know, everybody is just like, this is a storm that no one has ever seen. You know, it's like a 100-year storm, but there's definitely people in this community who believe that this was an attack or for a revenge against DeSantis. Like I've literally had conversations with this just with local people. And it's like, wow, it's pretty interesting. You know, that's a whole other topic with like weather manipulation and everything. But there's definitely people that are, you know, are truly looking into this, like just regular people out there.
Very interesting. Yeah. I think for myself, I've been like in a bunch of like kind of weird rabbit holes that I'm like processing recently, you know? A couple of things that kind of I've noticed is like it's very easy for humans to forget how they got to a certain place. Like it's really interesting. Like even after a few years, you know, like it's almost like what's going on right now magnified by years and years and years. Like we have no idea how we got to where we are if you really think about it, because the history and the complicated social changes that have occurred throughout the thousands of years of history, we've lost. So it's impossible to actually know how we got here, but everyone's so sure about it. It's the strangest thing. Like, and then, you know, like two things that were really interesting is I was looking into a guy who people consider is the first historian. His name's Herodotus.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Herodotus was considered the first historian. And, you know, there's different, I mean, he was just a man, right? But his idea was like, hey, I should probably go around and make inquiries into these things and just write down everything that I found. And so he did in different books, and he highlighted just many strange things, like trying to be an objective observer and just say what different areas were saying about a particular issue. And how like certain areas of Greece would see things compared to how people across the pond would see things and their entire take on it were like two wildly different things. But then if you really think about it from both of their perspectives, that's actually how it happened. But they were very different truths, you know? And even like, if you start looking into Halloween and how Halloween actually developed into what it is today, Halloween, the reason why Halloween is such a marketed thing at the end of October is because people were doing such dirty things on Halloween over like dirty, not meaning like sexually or anything like that, but dirty and like vandalism and like crazy stuff was happening on Halloween. Like the Halloween was like the purge for a really long time. And I don't mean in terms of killing, like it wasn't that bad, but it was just like really crazy violent things would happen every single Halloween for a really long historical period, to the point where a bunch of corporations got together and they were like, we need to curb this somehow. So let's start marketing parties on Halloween. They started marketing costumes so that people could dress up and have costume parties. And it all kind of like came to where it is today. But that's only like one part of the story, because like historically what happened to get to the marketed Halloween that we have today obviously had an entire history going back to like Christian and pagan times, with what that time was and what that day was with like Samhain and stuff like that. And it's just like, I just kind of feel like I could research all day long and just kind of be happy researching, because you can never find like the end answer with everything. But
that's true.
I just think it's really interesting that a lot of people who talk really absolutely about things don't really understand the history that things went through, and they would benefit a lot. Like their entire understandings of things would benefit a lot from going through that process of trying to understand that. So history, just that's my take home really, is history is a really valuable thing, and we need to figure out a way to protect it and get it into more people's lives, you know.
The right history. That's the key.
Like real history. Like yeah, right yeah, now.
Real history.
The winner governs history. And yeah. it's a very perilous thing, history, you know?
Right.
It can change and make or break an entire country, you know, how they understand history.
You know, Rob, for whatever reason you're describing that, made me think of a really cool dig deep question. So I'm going to put this out there for Lindsay to write down, is that if you could have any superpower, what would it be? Because I was thinking like, gosh, you know, cause you're talking about history and I'm like, you know, gosh,
flashcards.
Like I wish I could just read books. Like, I wish I could just like consume books and scan the pages and just download them. Cause like, I've got so many books. I have a whole library of books. It's like, I never have time to read them. I mean, I read some of them, but it's like, I wish I could just download all those, because I want to know all this information. I thought that'd be a great superpower. It's like, there's a good dig deep question.
Yeah. It is a good dig deep question.
Yeah, we can get into that, because I have a good answer for that.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear what Ben's answer is. It's probably really weird.
It's good, like, but weird. I want to be
able to smell from 10 miles away.
Well, I didn't mean to take up too much time there, but we've got a bunch of stuff to get into.
We sure do. Where to start with all of this, with Alex Jones and Jay-Z and Elon?
You mean Jay-Z? You mean Kanye?
Kanye, yes. It's Jay-Z.
No, dude, Kanye and Jay-Z.
I know.
They're one like another.
Night and day. Yes, I know. But, I mean, you know, and a lot of this all kind of ties in together, because of what's really seems to be taking place is attacking more of a conservative voice in some aspect, you know, and then with the banks canceling Kanye, this is pretty nerving. And you guys, what I actually, so for those of you guys that don't know about this, JP Morgan canceled Kanye's account with Kanye. However, I found that they did keep Jeffrey Epstein as a client, even though they had so much warning about him and what he was doing and all the child sex stuff that was happening with him, and they still were like, yeah, we'll still keep him as a client, but we'll get rid of Kanye. So now, granted, I mean, honestly, some of the stuff that he was like saying recently on Twitter, that, or like especially on Instagram, that got him banned, I mean, I I think that's like really not in good taste at all. And I think it kind of casts a negative light on a lot of like the good work that people are doing.
So what was said, Ben?
Well, he was comparing I don't even really want to like fully get into it, but he brought up like, well, okay, let me just say it this way without actually saying it. He's being accused of being anti-Semitic for a comment that he made on Instagram, which got him banned, and he did delete it. It was a conversation that he had with his daughter, and he was like, kind of, you know, it was horrible. Actually, honestly, it really is. And I was like, okay, this isn't really good that he said this, for one. Two, I kind of worry that it gives the other side more excuses to start censoring. Like, oh, anyone who actually follows Kanye or believes in this now, like, you should be censored too because you must agree with what he said. And it's like, well, no, you don't agree with anything that anyone says 100% of the time. You know, it's just, that's just not the way it is. He is trying to wake people up, and we recognize that. But it's like, you can't just say because everything he tweets doesn't mean that we support. But, you know, and then the same thing with Alex Jones. And sorry, you guys, because I want to get your guys' perspective with this. I thought I would kind of like set the stage here and kind of how these, both of these kind of tie together. Because then you have Alex Jones now paying like $1 billion here. And actually, I do have a video of him responding. We can show that a little bit later. But what does that say, Rob?
Purdue Pharma execs to pay $634 million fine in OxyContin case. Alex Jones ordered to pay $965 million for Sandy Hook lies. Like,
I was actually trying to find that exact meme earlier.
That clown world.
That's exactly it. And okay, now you could say, well, Trump is suing CNN for like $500 million. But all of these are giant corporations, especially when you come to drug companies. I mean, even $1 billion,
$634 million for a pharma company is like $600.
And that created the opioid epidemic. Crisis, yeah. Like, they created like, this.
Literally killed hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people, got like millions of people addicted.
And it's basically a slap on a wrist to them. And, you know, now granted, I found some evidence. The Sackler family, which owns the company that produces OxyContin, and I can't remember the name that produces it off the top of my head, but they're the larger corporation. It's the Sackler family. They transferred $10 billion because they had a feeling that lawsuits were going to happen. And so it's like, this to me is also criminal. It's like, they already knew that something was wrong. They transferred this money. So it's just, there's just a lot of issues with all of this. And I do feel what's happening to Alex Jones. I just worry that this could potentially be used as almost like a stick to get everybody else. Oh, okay. Well, we went after him. Now we can go after anybody. I mean, this is what happened to us when Alex Jones was the first one to get deleted from YouTube. Then they went after everybody else. And that's why I'm a little bit worried about what is going on here with all of this. But what's your guys' thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, Ben, I agree with you completely that, and it makes me wonder what is the real driver behind this, right? Because, you know, I even see one of the comments is dig deep. Like, do you think Jones is a double agent, right?
Yeah.
And, there's a lot of information coming out, you know, okay, is it Gary Hicks? Is that the guy's name? Bill Hicks. Okay.
That's a rabbit hole in itself.
Yeah, it really is. I've looked into it, like the teeth and you know, all kinds of stuff. There's some weird stuff, but it's like, you know, it brings up, and of course I'm going to go into a little bit of a rabbit hole here, as you'd expect, but it brings up an interesting discussion about what really is controlled opposition, right? And I actually, like, I don't have what I would call a public opinion about Alex Jones. I like what Fritz Sprigmeyer said about him when he was asked his opinion about him when interviewing Zach Payne. And he said, look, like, I don't think it's a positive thing to publicly try to divide people and say this person's good, this person's bad, if you don't really, really know. Right. He goes, what I can tell you is that so many people that I know that woke up started with Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Right. So he's like, that was his comment. And I agree with that. Yeah, you know what I mean? So that's true. Me too. And that's the thing is that, like, could someone hypothetically that has played such a critical role waking so many people up also be controlled opposition? And it's like, well, maybe. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying Alex specifically, but like, what if, you know, what if the whole element of it is to like, what if like this entire lawsuit thing was part of the overall plan to eventually create such a massive lawsuit that becomes the precedent for everyone else who's speaking the truth? Like, what if, for instance, this turns into something where they say, okay, anybody that tried to speak out against the vaccine, that they kind of twist things around and saying, well, you caused physical harm and this person died of COVID because of misinformation, and like, we're not going to sue you for that. Like, it's like, you know, like, look, Alex Jones was one of the first people to get kicked off of YouTube, right? But that set a precedent. You know what I mean? Like, that set the precedent then for the other people to follow, because it's always the first one that's most difficult. But once you have a precedent, it's like a legal case. So yeah, it's crazy. I mean, look, I just interviewed Tom Renz, who's suing EcoHealth Alliance for their role in gain of function research. Whoa. and like releasing. So he's suing EcoHealth Alliance.
EcoHealth Alliance. So
for $1 billion.
So
right.
EcoHealth Alliance, the CEO, he was the only person allowed over to Wuhan when after all of this happened. He's the sole person who knows everything that's happened related to COVID and the coronavirus coming out of the Wuhan and everything, and he hasn't said anything about it. We did a whole like massive deep dive in one of our live shows on the EcoHealth Alliance, and they're like, it's crazy. Yeah. And even the mainstream media have called them out for doing like, well, these.
And this is
things.
What's crazy, because it's like, you know, Rob, you brought up the pharmaceutical company paying, you know, a few hundred million dollars. Well, like, he's suing EcoHealth Alliance for $1 billion for basically like the lawsuit. It's crazy how he's structuring the lawsuit. It's the same way that you would sue, like, say DuPont had a chemical factory that leaked a cancerous toxin into the water supply, and mm-hmm. like everyone in the town got cancer. Like, mm-hmm. those are the precedent cases that he's using to say, look, they knew they're developing gain of function, you know, basically chemicals that were, or, you know, viruses that could be released. And it's like this is the same thing as DuPont or, you know, a car company poisoning the water well. It's like, that's the precedent. But it's just crazy. Wow. It's just like, man, like that's a $1 billion lawsuit for releasing COVID, right? Which, like, it's like Alex Jones is also like being, you know, sued for a, you know, order to pay $1 billion. It's just kind of crazy. But back to the original comment, it's like, yeah, I mean, I don't like, is this part of the long range? Like, is he supposed to be kind of the fall guy to set up the precedent to, you know, to end free speech? Like, I don't know. I'm just asking because, you know, this is our job, is to ask questions. Right. Personally, like, I've met Alex Jones. I've watched a lot of his content. You know, he's a little bit too fiery for me. Like, that's what kind of, you know, it's like, yeah. I'm not like,
I'm going to eat my neighbor.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it doesn't really excite me very much. But
hopefully not.
I have to say, a lot of, like, I've learned a lot from that man.
Yeah.
And, you know, he is like, there's a lot of different perspectives. Like, some people are like, oh, Xi Jinping's a white hat. Some people are like, this is like, I consistently find that he seems to be really close to the truth in what he's talking about. So, yeah, I've got a lot of respect for him and what he's done and the amount of people that he's reached. But yeah, it's a crazy situation, but it's a slippery slope. That's for sure.
Hmm. Well, you guys, I'm going to get to my answer on this right after our first trailer, because we've got to do one of those. So we've been talking about politicians. So if that had you thinking about green slimy monsters, don't blame you. And since we're on the subject, Ben and I just had the premiere of our newest Edge of Wonder series last night, which is all about cryptids of the abyss, not the ones in our administration. So if you want to hear about Cthulhu and the Kraken H.P. Lovecraft and the occult, other dimensions, and fantastic beings that aren't supposed to exist. Check out this trailer for episode one of The Seas, only on Rise.tv.
Seafaring voyagers traverse the vast seas, sailing for distant lands, lost treasure, ferocious sea beasts, and new worlds beyond the old. But what if their searches across the ocean surface miss truths that lie much deeper? What secrets hide in the Bermuda Triangle? Why do octopuses exhibit an ethereal intelligence we can't quite explain? Are sightings of the Kraken and giant squids more than mere stories? Some creatures have been found to not just survive, but to thrive at depths and conditions we never thought possible. Which begs the question, what has been written off in history as imaginings or myths that may actually be pointing to other dimensions, alien worlds, or fantastic beings that aren't supposed to exist? Join Edge of Wonder for a deep dive into the cryptids of the abyss.
Ah, you gotta love it.
Such an awesome trailer.
Yeah. Oh, really
Marco did such a great job.
Well, hey, you guys, if you're watching the podcast or listening to the podcast, because how could you watch a podcast? Well, anyway, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a 5-star rating and review so we can reach more people. Thank you, guys. Well, hey, all right. So here's the thing.
Yeah.
With this Alex Jones stuff, the Kanye stuff, like all of this, the thing that's been bothering me the most is that basically, like, this cancel culture has seeped into every part of our society, on the right and the left. And the people on the right that are fighting against it oftentimes do the same thing to their own people. And it's like, I've just gotten to this point where I'm very frustrated with the fact that journalists now can't even be journalists and ask questions without getting canceled. To the right or the left, journalists can't even bring a person on who they want to find information out and get their side of the story. And then without getting accused of like being a black hat, being a white hat, who gives a crap what hat they are? Like, it's like, that's not how journalism works. Journalism is supposed to work in a way where, you know, sometimes you bring on the guy from the right, sometimes you bring the guy on the left, and you ask hard hitting questions. And now what? We can't ask questions? Because if you're too hard to the right, they'll criticize you. If you're not hard enough to the left, people criticize you. If you're too hard on the left criticizes you. Like, what is going on here? Really, what's going on here? Like, we should be able to step outside of all of that and really, like, you know, not subscribe to those things. Like the biggest thing here, I think, is that we have a show that's all about like thinking about your, like thinking for yourself, like thinking for yourself, not going with the flow for the sake of going with the flow. And it's like, why do we need to do that? Like, what, why is our society set up in a way where we actually have to have a show that where we're all on this journey to try to figure out how to do that? Like, that's how powerful this sort of divat in society is. You know, humans will very much go along with a certain kind of idea and a certain kind of, you know, just this trend that's going on just to kind of fit in. But really, like, we need to think outside of those things and try not to subscribe to them on both sides sometimes in order to have our own minds and to really think clearly with stuff. Like, I think that, no, I don't agree with everything Alex Jones says. I can barely watch the guy for more than 5 minutes, but I still think that guy deserves his own platform to scream. Not necessarily about eating his neighbor, but, you know, about like other things that are bothering him, right? And then, you know, with Kanye, it's like, this is also the problem, is like, we have a media that's so ready to jump on anyone who says anything that's like conservative, but then you have the left saying the craziest things right now, the most insane things, and they stay away from it. And then people will like, well, yeah, but I don't agree with what Kanye said. And I'm like, well, yeah, but like we have Joe Biden talking about little kids twirling his leg hair. Like, come on, you know, like this is weird. Like, there's a lot of weird things going on. And what bothers me are the agendas more than anything else, you know? And
yeah,
it's so clear here with what's going on with Alex Jones, with what's going on with some of these gigantic corporations, that there's a very big difference. Like, how are you going to get, like, think about how many dumb people on the street have said stuff about the Sandy Hook stuff, or about, you know, like all kinds of things. They're not getting, like, of course he has a platform and so it's more serious, but $1 billion, like me not being able to talk about Kanye West positively. I agree with 90% of the stuff he says. I don't agree with this one thing that he said. And it's like, that doesn't, you cannot throw the baby out with the bathwater. Like, that's not how we're supposed to be as human beings. You know, we're not supposed to throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's not what we do. And everyone's so willing to do that now. It's just, it's really silly.
Well, I mean, and, you know, I don't even want to get into the Sandy Hook thing, but in granted, you know, honestly, I don't really have too much of a strong opinion on that one way or the other. It's like, I can understand from the family's perspective. Okay. But again, this happened a long time ago. $1 billion. It's a lot of money. So it's, I mean, this isn't, I mean, I think originally what he was supposed to pay, maybe
$6 million or something.
Yeah. It was like,
would have been bad enough. And then it went up to like 94 million. And then all of a sudden, like,
yeah. And actually there's a clip that we can play. This says Alex Jones reacting in real time to the, it's just like 2 minutes, and he's reacting real time to what's happening in the court. So Lindsay, if you can pull that up, and I have a timestamp marked and we can watch that. But yeah, I mean, also the midterm elections are coming. So to me, but why is this all this happening right now? Right. So I that's what really brings a red flag in this to me. It's like, okay, you have everything going on with Kanye and the censorship and just all of this stuff. And even with everything going on with the Democratic Party and just all the crazy stuff they're saying right now. And then
what's also crazy. Sorry, jump in.
No, go ahead.
The whole Biden saga with the OPEC nations, right? So OPEC, I believe it stands for Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries or something like that. So basically it's all the countries around the world that produce the oil. And it's basically our arrangement with Saudi Arabia and the OPEC nations that gives our US dollar its petrodollar status. And so like Biden is completely keeps screwing that up, which is really going to destroy the dollar, because if we lose that petrodollar status, like the dollar's done for. Like, it's not a good thing. And but like talking about the midterm, so Biden was recently, you know, I'm not sure if he's over in Saudi Arabia. I think he might have been, but he was like begging the Saudi Arabians to like withhold, or in the OPEC nations to withhold their oil cuts until after the midterms, right? So he's basically calling up these people, are talking to them, saying, look, can you know, I know that you're going to make some cuts to the oil, which is going to increase the cost of oil, but can you wait to do that until after our midterms? That way the people in office don't look bad because the gas prices go up. I'm like dead serious. Like, Lindsay, if you want to pull up an article about it, it's just like, yeah, there's so much crazy stuff that's happening right now as we head into the midterms. And it's interesting because, you know, I've thought about this a lot, because if you look at what happened in 2020, you look at the, you know, like look at the fact that Biden is sitting in the White House. All right. Like that right there is like the biggest head scratch of the century. It's like, how on earth did that happen? Well, it didn't happen I'll tell you that. Yeah. There you go. And so,
I'm so confused. I'm like,
but if you think about it, it's like as we approach the midterms, like there's a lot of pessimism surrounding that. And I've had my moments too, where it's like, well, is it going to matter? Like, can we really? They've got the Dominion machines, and you know. But as I thought about it, it's like, you know, ultimately, who decides the winner and loser of the elections? in my opinion, it's God, right? Like, at the end of the day, it's like nothing happens without the big guy saying, yes, like this is okay to happen. And I think that this is what teaches us these lessons. And so I believe that even Biden getting in the White House now, it's like that was allowed to happen, right? Otherwise, it wouldn't have happened, right? That's my own kind of way of looking at it. And so, but if you look at all of the people that have come out since then and stood up and they're you know, whether they're being poll watchers or getting involved in their local schools, like we, the people, are pissed off and we're fired up. And there's this righteous indignation that's kind of this wave of it that's sweeping across the nation. And so even if the Democrats have all these things in place to steal the election, it's like, I would love to see a scenario play out where it's like, you know, God's looking down and saying, you know what? Sorry. There's too many good people. There's too many good people that are really playing their role. And I'm not going to allow you to steal it anymore. You know what I mean? Because it's like, what ultimately decides this? And I think that in a lot of ways, I feel like, and this is a little bit of a, maybe people would be offended by this or upset, but it's almost like we deserved to have our election stolen. And as much as I hate to say that, and I hate having Biden in office, you know, it's like the American, like, what else is going to wake us up? You know what I mean? like, you know, like, just like people always feel like, oh, let's get Trump back in. He'll fix everything. And he'll give us another 4 years. Like, really, what else is going to wake us up?
But I don't know if we deserve it. I don't know about that.
But... Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that like 100%, but
yeah,
it's like, it's in a lot of ways, it's our fault, right? I guess that's maybe a better point. Like in so many ways, it's our fault that so much of what's happening in our country is happening. And I think that we have to take responsibility for this which I think that we are. And that's what's encouraging to me.
So hey, Seth, can you repeat what you asked me to pull up?
It was just the article. And I guess we can play this Alex Jones reaction. It was just the article about Joe Biden begging the OPEC countries to not cut oil production until after the midterms.
That's so messed up, man. How can you do that?
But I'm actually more excited to see Alex Jones right now.
Yeah, this is pretty interesting, his reaction. So
there's no play button.
And it's spinning its wheels.
This video player is like Jen Psaki. Keep wanting to circle back.
I don't know what's going on with this. It's working on my end, but maybe Lindsay's having some issues, so we'll come back to that. But yeah, you know, the other thing about the oil, Seth, Rob and I were kind of, we touched on it in one of our shows earlier in the week, is when Trump was in office.
And I'm sorry for this, here we go. But I just want to make sure that we cross all the T's and dot all the I's. And as Attorney Pattis had pointed out, I had asked you, you probably don't remember now because it was days ago, just to have the four-person initial each page as well as sign. Also, I don't see any decimal points, and that's fine. It's consistent throughout, so we can leave it at that. So by that, I mean there's no decimal point, 00, but that is fine. I just wanted to point that out.
Hundreds of millions
per
person.
Send the jury back in with that, and then when you're ready, we'll come back out.
I don't see any decimal points. So that just told you millions and millions, including an FBI agent, never said his name, don't know who he is. And that's why we have these headlines here in my stack where the Texas Attorney General says I unleashed hell by questioning the election. Didn't even question the Texas elections. Project Veritas did a good job of it. So they're going to come back. But now, you talked bad about general topics. And if any random government official can now sue you for it. Well, that's, I was going to skip this network break, but we don't need to now. So put it back in to function there.
Watch this.
The info stations, and we'll come back after the break with this. People are asking why I'm laughing. Folks, we're on the verge of nuclear war. They just killed 20 million people with poison shots. Billions are sick. Mainline News is reporting in. And they literally are mad at me. I questioned a mass shooting that was political from the beginning. And I will continue to question Jesse Smollett or WMDs in Iraq or Nord Stream pipelines or any of it. So I feel good about the work I've done and the listeners' your support. This corrupt, dying political system wants to try to make me the devil. I'm not the devil. And God is my judge, not you globalist scumbags.
Okay.
Classic Alex Jones right there.
It is. And you know, there's something I love about Alex Jones. I'm not saying that I watch him all the time and that you know, I don't have my own questions, but it's like, you know, I think that what it is that he says a lot of us are thinking, you know what I mean? And that's a good feeling. It's a good feeling to have some guy that's out there, you know, in front of a lot of people that's saying exactly what you're thinking at home in your living room.
I really think this whole thing that's going on with like white hats and black hats, this whole thing has ruined a large part of a really necessary exchange that people are supposed to have about like concepts and mm-hmm. and what people think is the right avenue to take with certain things. Like it's like the white hat and black hat thing is actually an example of the culture, the cancel culture. It gives people an excuse to write off what someone's saying
when from the left or the right.
Yeah, it could be right or it could be wrong. Like you have to look at what they're saying. You have to look at what they're doing to determine whether it's right or wrong. You can't just write an entire thing like off. Of course, I'm not talking about all situations, but you know what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. I just think that's like dumb. Like with Alex Jones, like is he like a, you know, is he an agent or whatever? It's like, I mean, who knows? Who knows who is and who isn't? Like, but you still have to look at on this particular issue, what did this person say? Is it right or is it wrong? And then you can decide whether you want to get behind it or not. You don't have to like throw everything out, you know?
Mm-hmm. I feel like that, Rob, as well, that it is I think it's actually part of the communist specter. And what I mean by that is that the, you know, the communist specter fundamentally, one of the strong aspects of it is labeling. It's class warfare. Yeah. Left versus right, black versus white. And what it does is it takes human beings, right? Human beings are beautiful, multifaceted beings, right? We have so many different ways of just existing and living and being individual, but it takes them and forces them into two boxes. You're left or you're right. You're Republican, you're Democrat, you're conservative, you're liberal, you're a white hat, a black hat. But it's not, it's that, but it's also a lot of it has to do, I think, with the deliberate dumbing down of the American society specifically through Hollywood, which has been a great intention, a major, you know, plan and you know, kind of operation of theirs. Because if you look at even the Hollywood script writing, it's so stupid. It's like, this guy's the bad guy and he talks like this, and that guy's the good guy. You know, like the bad guy walks in, it's the bad guy music. Dun, dun, dun. The guy comes in, it's like, ah, right? They've It's like a lot of Americans, it's like we've become really dumbed down, myself included, in so many ways, where we're looking at these situations and we're thinking, well, that guy's a good guy, that guy's a bad guy. It's like, it's not like that, actually. Like, you know, if you look at like really good film, for instance, even the bad people, you kind of identify with them. You're like, well, I kind of understand why they're bad like that. I understand what twisted them like that. Whereas so much of Hollywood has made it so that it's like, oh, that's the bad guy. And he was born and his intention is just to kill everything. And, you know, so it's really oversimplified things, but it also makes a lot of these discussions. It's like, okay, Putin, is like, is he a white hat or is he a black hat? Like, well, it's so multifaceted that by even trying to put it into that simple of a bucket, you're already wrong. So yeah, I couldn't agree more. Mm-hmm. Sorry. One quick comment that I kind of just hit me and I was laughing when I came across this and talking about the dumbing down of us is, I'm sure you guys have seen the movie Idiocracy.
I haven't seen it.
A long time ago.
Oh, Ben, you've got to watch Idiocracy. Okay. And actually, maybe, and I know that Lindsay might be a little bit off topic here, but if you want to show a little bit of the trailer, Idiocracy is one of the most incredible films that like shows the reality of how dumbed down we've become. And one of the funniest scenes in Idiocracy was that it's like America in the future and everyone is so dumbed down that they're a bunch of idiots.
Yeah,
right. One of the funniest parts of it,
so basically it's a documentary.
Yeah, so let's watch this really quick and then I'll tell you the funniest part, which I saw this news clip the other day. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like one of like the most insane predictive programs I've ever seen. So Lindsay, can you play a trailer real quick?
At the dawn of the 21st century, the Army began a top secret experiment.
Meet Joe Bowers, our first subject for the human.
I thought you were going to say Joe Biden.
As you know, this is highly classified. However, if successful, we believe humans can be stored indefinitely.
However, the trial run was prone to human error.
See you in a year.
And Joe slept slightly longer than expected. Half a millennium, to be exact. From wow. Mike Judge, creator of Office Space and Beavis and Butthead.
Oh my God! Oh.
If you were the smartest person in the world.
This goes in your mouth. This one goes in your butt. Hang on a second. This one goes in your mouth.
And we're stuck with the dumbest people in history.
If you have one bucket that holds 2 gallons and another bucket that holds 5 gallons, how many buckets do you have?
Two?
What would you do?
Excuse me, I'm actually supposed to be getting out of prison.
You're in the wrong line.
I'm the smartest guy in the world? Says who?
The IQ test you took in prison. You got the highest score in history.
Even smarter than President Camacho.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of America!
In the year 2505.
Is that Michelle Obama?
So you smart.
The ordinary will be considered extraordinary.
I thought your hair would be bigger.
Idiocracy.
For the smartest guy in the world, you're pretty dumb sometimes.
Anyway, sorry to
that's
the,
crazy, man.
Hopefully that was entertaining. But what's hilarious is that, like, in that movie, their president is a former like wrestler, mm-hmm. right? As you can see, it's like this black wrestler who goes up on stage and fires off machine guns and stuff. Like, that's what they've gotten to. And I saw this, like, really, like, hilarious video of The Rock on CNN talking about how he's like, I got people on the political left and political right. And they're saying, you know what, Rock, you should run. He's like, you should run. And he's like, it was talking about The Rock, like, potentially running for president. And when I thought about The Rock running for president, it's like, dude, that's totally Idiocracy. Sorry to kind of pull us off your track, but that's what FNL is about, I guess. Anyway,
like, the most electrifying man in politics.
Oh, dude, goodness. That is insane, man. Oh my gosh.
Oh God, Barack Obama.
I can't imagine anyone actually voting for The Rock.
That's, yeah, well, The Rock, Barack, that's a bad situation.
Seriously.
Anyway, all right. So, gentlemen, we should get back into the news. well, how about we get into Elon Musk?
Sure.
Right. Like,
he just made a tweet just as we were going live.
There is a Ben. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, he says, "If I die under mysterious circumstances, it's been nice knowing you." No, I'm sorry. This wasn't. He just must have retweeted this.
Oh, that was March.
Yeah, this was. I was gonna say I thought he posted this a while ago, but it was so weird because when I went to his page, yeah, he pinned it. That's what he did. He pinned it while we were live. So this tweet is from early in March, but he twinned it. Yeah, he just pinned it. So. So I'm sorry, he didn't just tweet it, but he did just pin it from earlier in March. So,
man,
that's pretty funny.
Weird.
Yeah, his mom was commenting when it happened because I was like, I thought this was an old tweet, but then yeah, and his mom was like, that's not funny. It's like, well, yeah. I mean, he's everything that he's doing right now. But sorry, Rob, what were you going to say?
Nothing that I should be saying on live television.
Well, so, you know, with everything going on, he is cutting off the satellites to Ukraine because it's like he's getting attacked by the Ukrainian president. So it's like, well, okay, then he basically wants the U.S. to pay for it. It's like, why am I providing, if you guys are trying to create World War III, here I am trying to offer solutions of peace, getting attacked
by the guy I'm giving internet to.
Yes. Yeah. You know, as like a Russian sympathizer, then why why would I even like do this? You know? So
I love Russian synthesizers. Like, they make the coolest music.
Russian synthesizers. Those are great. Yeah.
How about we play the clip from Tucker Carlson, you know, kind of drilling into Zelensky.
Sounds good.
I'd love to watch that, actually.
I would too. Tucker's, he's an entertaining guy. I tell you what, he's good in front of a camera. I feel like that of the three of us, Rob is the most like Tucker Carlson.
Really?
No
way.
That's a good thing, Rob.
He's way cooler than I am.
The scope of this year's support should be not less than $5 billion.
What? A t-shirt demanding money for his critical economic needs? We have critical economic needs too, buddy. Who are you, troll? Go away. What? Since when does that guy have a claim on our treasury?
The scope of this year's support should be not less than $5 billion.
Man, it is a clown world, that's for sure.
Oh, my God. And, you know, so I was kind of looking into how the media were reporting on Ukraine in 2012, and a lot of it was talking about neo-Nazis in Ukraine. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, we're turning a blind eye to anything that has neo-Nazi in it in Ukraine. And you can see so many photos of these soldiers wearing, like, it's not even the sun. It's like straight up swastika on their chest and stuff, you know? And it's like, what is going on here with flags and all kinds of stuff? And, you know, and I have a feeling that Elon really knows a lot of what's going on behind the scenes. So,
I don't think so. Yeah, I think Elon, I don't know that he has a lot of time to look into a lot of this stuff. I think that process for him has probably just started recently, you know, with everything going on over the last couple of years. Reaching out
to people, like talking to people on the phone. That's kind of what I mean. No, like he might just be picking up some, hey, you know, tell me what is going on because I'm super confused about all this, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I won't get into the whole rabbit hole. I'll just keep myself out of it. I will remind folks, though, that we're doing Dig Deep in 7 minutes. So if you have a Dig Deep question that's hopefully better than my superpower question, then please ask it
superpower question.
The chat.
I still remember my answer for the superpower, so I can't wait to get into that.
So, gentlemen, I'm not sure if we have... Yeah, let's talk a little bit about China. Right. There's been some interesting things that have been happening in China. But one of the cool things, and this is kind of positive, is that there's this film, this animated film called Eternal Spring, The Heist of China's Airwaves, that's coming to theaters. So this is actually really interesting because, and maybe this is a sign, you know, talked about, you know, how the midterms, maybe God's kind of stepping back in and saying, okay, enough people are standing up that we can start changing some things. But the fact that this film is coming to theaters is incredible because this completely exposes the Chinese Communist Party. Check out this trailer. This is incredible.
Oh.
Have you seen this trailer, Rob?
Yeah, this is Da Xiong.
Yeah, he works for Dark Horse. Oh, interesting. Okay, so we can tell people what's going on with this after
Wow.
So Vice, oh, Variety, they.
What about Vice?
Oh, wait, so wait, it's snapped up.
Vice Films, I thought, was. Like, I believe that Vice actually kind of bought up the release for it.
They did.
You know, the release rights. Yeah. But it's also, so I think it's going to be in theaters across the nation, which is just incredible. Which is, it's great. I mean, look, this is a sign. This is a sign that the CCP's control over the West is weakening. That's what this tells me. And that's encouraging. I'm
surprised that Vice did this, actually. I guess that maybe the CCP has less control over them than other media, but wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah. And I want to respond to Phoenix Zen's question. It says, Phoenix. Funded by the Canadian government, now I'm skeptical. So actually, the three of us know a lot of the team that produced that film. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when it says funded by the Canadian government, all that means is that you apply for grants to say, hey, we made this in Canada, and you get a grant for it.
Yeah.
So it's not like the Canadian government like came and like they have like editorial discretion and saying, hey, please make a movie for us. It's more so that a lot of filmmakers, you know, they apply, you know, for these grants to say, hey, look, we're making movies because the Canadian government wants Canada to be on a world stage.
Yeah.
So it's more something like that. It wasn't like it was.
It's like a business they're running within the Canadian government that gives out grants to art, like arts things and stuff. And so those people don't necessarily touch anything that's bad. They just give the grant out if somebody you know,
yeah, and they do it with every industry.
New York City, and you know, because it'll be like made in New York. You know,
it's really about showing Canada and whatever art you're talking about. That's really the main purpose behind it. It's like, well, yeah, we'll give you this grant. The only thing is like just either have a setting in Canada, do something in Canada, say something about Canada. And
that's the way for them really to about compete it. With us too, and to get movies made up there and to help provide for the economy. So it's like, it's just, there's different things that go on with those, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And for people watching that didn't understand, so this story is a true story that took place in China, where Falun Gong practitioners hijacked a TV signal in the early 2000s. And broadcast
beamed the truth.
Yeah, beamed the truth all throughout China, actually. And there was like a nationwide manhunt over the people who did it. And they snuck in. It's a massive, insane story of how they did it. And there was like a small group of them that did it. And they were able to actually do it, but in the end they got detained, and
it affected the Chinese government so much that they rolled out over 500,000 500 million security cameras across China.
They did, actually.
It was significant. I mean,
it was very significant.
Hypothetically, let's just use an example. Like I said, we were talking about the election. So let's just say that during the peak of the election fraud investigations, you know, after say 3 or 4 weeks after the election happened, everyone's talking about it. We know there's a lot of evidence, but let's just imagine that someone had like hard proof evidence that nobody was seeing, not even Fox News viewers. And imagine this person, you know, or a group of people snuck into the like a satellite broadcast studio, hijacked it, and say people are watching CNN one night, and all of a sudden like this like program takes over, and it's like, here is absolute proof that the election was stolen. Like that's the level of like, you know, obviously this is about the murdering of people in China. So it was actually way more significant in many ways, but that was the scale of what these people did, which was just, I think it was absolutely incredible. And unfortunately, I think a lot of them ended up being murdered by the CCP, the ones that were hunted down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were, it was. But,
and so, I see, is this Heaven asking, is there's a link to it? Yeah, so thank you, Lindsay. EternalSpringFilm.com is what it is. So, gentlemen, do you want to go ahead and dive into the dig deep together? Do we have anything else we want to talk about before then?
Yeah, we can get right into that. Let's do that.
I think Rob wanted to read something first, no?
Oh, you did?
What, you're going to play a trailer?
Yeah. Would you like me to just click the trailer then?
I thought you, okay. Well, anyway, you guys, because we're talking about Elon Musk as well as strange events happening in the world, and if you like that kind of topic, you'll be really interested in the transhumanism series that we have on Rise.tv. You'll see Ben and I actually set out on a transhumanism tour to find the truth about programmable monkeys. Not talking about Seth here. But then we discover the explosive hidden history of eugenics, modern-day Terminator technology already existing, cyborgs, hybrids, DNA hacking, and social manipulation. Plus, you'll hear the complicated transhumanist agendas of famous figures like Darwin, Hitler, Elon Musk, Margaret Sanger, Jeffrey Epstein, Francis Crick, the Huxleys, and sentient robots. So check out this trailer for our Edge of Wonder series all about it.
In this series from Edge of Wonder, we dive into neural nets, sentient robots, gene editing technology, smart implants, programmable monkeys, evolution, and social manipulation. Is resistance futile? How can we rage against the machine?